You know, your joints start to get slower in the cold. I think maybe the brain gets slower in the cold too. When I was, junior high, middle school, a song came out called Like Mike, or I think that was the name of the song. That was the refrain. It came over and over again, like Mike, I want to be like Mike. And I remember hearing it on the radio and thinking that it just went on ad nauseum, like it never would end. And about two-thirds of the way into the song, my mother finally asked, she said, "Who's Mike?" And I said, "Oh, it's a reference to Michael Jordan." And she went, "Oh." It was fascinating in so many ways. I went to public school K through fourth grade, and throughout it, I remember hearing regularly the success story of Michael Jordan, this young man who applied himself in so many ways, tried harder and harder and harder, and never quite could make it onto the basketball team. Was cut year after year after year, really didn't play. In fact, he didn't even play all the way through high school. In the freshman year, he was cut, and I don't remember exactly which year in high school he actually finally got on the team and went on to play for North Carolina and so on and so forth into his professional career. It was fascinating because not only did it tell us this great success story of someone who worked hard, applied himself, but then it taught you, you know, what was his exercise routine. And then they started to talk about what his diet was and what he ate and what he did. And it really wasn't limited to that one. I mean, that one stands out clearly in my mind, Michael Jordan being a popular sports star at the time. But, well, I'm going to be honest, I have a kind of a Chicago bias, but I can tell you from not just Michael Jordan, but I heard similar things about Walter Payton and the fridge from the 85 Bears and so many others. This, you know, how they spent their days, what they ate, how they exercised. It wasn't just, you know, maybe we could do a little bit like them. It was a full ingraining. It was a full embrace to become like these sports stars so that we too might one day reach for that goal of being a professional sports star. Now, I don't think I'm ever going to be professional in any sport that anyone watches on television, unless, of course, they make a sport of yelling at the TV while you sit on your couch, then maybe I could compete. But aside from that, I really don't think that I'm ever going to be a professional sports player of any kind. And if you consider it in so many ways, I don't think all of us could be professional sports stars. That would kind of defeat the purpose. But it does fascinate me in another regard, in that that challenge, that invitation to challenge, that each of us can consider when it isn't enough just to have similarities too in order to be that perfect MVP, but we have to take them on in every regard. Exactly how they ate, and how they slept, and what clothing they wore, and everything. It wasn't just a commercial campaign, it was this idea that the more we became like this person, the more we had a chance of succeeding to become that. And while it might be unreachable for all of us to obtain that level of ability in any particular field of entertainment, it is a strange curiosity that we kind of turn on its head and we suddenly kind of recoil when we consider the possibility of trying to take on Christ in every way. If we consider for a moment, there seems to have been a shift somewhere where we saw Christianity less as a total dedication to becoming Christ and more of the sort of more and more neutral idea that we should just sort of become a good person and do good things and uphold good morals. And don't get me wrong, all of those are extremely important. But never underestimate that if we are to be Christian, that means that we're called to be Christ-like, to take on the life of Christ in so many ways, to take on the life of Christ and embrace it in every way so that we might become more like Him. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to walk around in sandals and wear beards and only eat bread and fish. But we do want to challenge this idea that if we are to become Christians, we should be focused on what our goal is and really see what it is to be that disciple of Christ. We should never underestimate that it's not enough just to say that we want to be a good person or that we just want to do good things. But genuinely, all of us should have that heartfelt goal that we want to go to heaven. You know, the old definition of a saint was a person who's already in heaven, which always made me kind of laugh at the idea when someone said, well, that's a walking saint. I mean, they are a saint among us. And I think to myself, well, actually, the definition of a saint is someone in heaven. So unless you're trying to speed them along on a journey that maybe they haven't planned for yet, maybe we can hold back on that particular statement, you know, where we'll take it one step at a time. All of us are called to be saints. All of us are called as disciples of Christ to be more and more like Him. And really, that full completion of being more and more like Him is that completion in going to heaven. we lose sight of that, if we forget that it is actually our job to become saints above everything else that we do, then we've forgotten what we're going for. And it makes me fascinated. Because we have it right there in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And I have to laugh. I have to smile. I can't even say with a straight face to say that Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. This idea that Paul, you know, he says, just as I try to please everyone in every way, not seeking my own benefit for that of the many that they might be saved, so be imitators of me. I can't help but smile. Because if you read the life of St. Paul, if you read Acts of the Apostles, and you consider the life of St. Paul in so many ways, that man was not easy to get along with. Consider for a moment that every missionary journey that he went on, no one wanted to go with him a second time around. Barnabas went on two missionary journeys with Paul. Halfway through the second missionary journey, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go left, you go right. He went with Barnabas twice. That was the longest anyone ever made it. Mark made one missionary journey with him. John made half of one missionary journey with him. He was not a pleasant person to get along. This is not the man you want to vacation with, let me tell you. And to be imitators of me, to be pleasing to everyone in every way, I was fascinated by that. Because this is the same Paul that calls out Peter in the front of everyone else and tears him down for his shortcomings in front of everyone so that he might be reproached, so that he might repent and do better. I'm not really sure that we're going to be pleasing everyone if I try and invite each person up here one at a time and then try and tell them all of their faults in front of everyone here. It's not really pleasing to everyone, is it? It's a fascinating thing because we could say that Paul's tongue-in-cheek or we could say that Paul's a hypocrite, but actually he's neither of these things. He's pointing out that he's actually limited too. He's weak, he's flawed, he has his limitations. But he's challenging the Corinthians. He says, look, we want to be imitators of Christ. And if that seems too much, if it's too overwhelming to be an imitator of Christ perfectly, he said, be an imitator of me. If you think about it, it's why the church celebrates so many saints. It's why we celebrate this beautiful long litany of the saints. We have saints throughout the year. We update the calendar of the saints so that we can introduce new saints and be reminded of old ones regularly so that we are continually refreshed and renewed and reminded that as we become imitators of Christ, if that seems too ambitious at times, then we have all of these saints to become like. And I admit, there are some saints that I look at and go, I'm not really sure I could be them. You know, St. Francis is a great saint, but I'm not really sure I'm ready to throw all of my father's the pieces of my father's work out the window and give them away so that I might become poorer. I'm not really sure I'm ready to strip down naked into the town square and say that I have nothing because I have earned nothing. I'm not really sure I'm ready to beg door to door every day for my bread. But that's what Francis did. It doesn't say that every single one of us has to become St. Francis, but we do want to become like Christ. So we take on the saints. We get to know the saints. We read their writings, we read their biographies. Not just so that we can say, wasn't that a fascinating historical figure, so that we might become more like them. Because if we are to become disciples of Christ, if we are to be disciples of Christ, then this is what we should be striving to do. Not just be a good person. That's beautiful, but it's not enough. Not just make good decisions. That's important, but it's just a first step. It's to become Christ. That means that all of us have to become saints. Right now we're saints in the making. We might say to ourselves, I don't know if I'm that holy. I'm not really sure I can do those things that those saints did. My challenge is always the same. Why aren't we trying? We can't just give up and say, well, wow, that was really impressive. Now I can't do that. That's not enough. We want to be imitators. Like Paul, we want to be imitators of Christ. Never underestimate that our goal, from start to finish, has got to be in the business of saints. To be a disciple of Christ is to want to be in heaven. And maybe we don't feel like we're ready. Maybe we don't feel like we're there yet. Maybe we feel that that's a little bit further away than we can reach for right now. Well, actually, I think that there's no coincidence that this reading of Paul is actually paired with this reading from Mark. Because we have within Mark a leper. The most public and visible separated person in the entire society that Jesus encountered. Because a leper was not only afflicted with a physical disease that everyone could see, but it was an interpretation to the local people around them that they had sinned before God, or their parents had sinned before God, and this was their way of being punished. That they were afflicted with this particular punishment of a visible skin disease because God was that mad at them. And so they were pulled away from the rest of the group. Partially for its physical infirmity, leprosy being a communicable disease. Although I studied leprosy, depending on the kind you get, some of them are far less contagious than others, but that's not the point. They were also separated spiritually. They were seen as far from God, cut off, separated. At a certain point, they begged the question, unloved. And yet I think there's a powerful reminder to us that if we are to be disciples of Christ, we actually should not be afraid, because like this leper, we should be able to boldly come before Jesus and say, Lord, if you wish, I can be made clean. If you think about it, that's exactly what we do in the sacrament of reconciliation. We come before God and we say, Lord, if you want, I can be made clean. We stand before God with the priest as his agent. And the priest as his agent hopefully has done his job and has restored us to Christ, brought us back to that great promise, brought us back to that great salvation so that we too might be made clean. And while there may not be a leper colony in Dixon, Illinois, we may all find ourselves separated at one point or another from God's love. And we should never be afraid to return to that love with boldness. That in our prayer, if we want something, if we need something, if we find ourselves separated from God, to not be afraid to ask for it. To boldly come before God and know that He will respond to our prayers. Sometimes He may say wait. Sometimes He may say no. But He never ignores our prayers. And in that moment, we should be bold like this leper and ask God, whatever it is that keeps us from Him, to pray that we are made whole and allow God's mercy and love to pour out upon us, to remind us that He wants to be close to us. Because ultimately, that's what we're striving for. Heaven is a time where we spend eternity in the closeness to God. And hopefully all of us are making that goal as disciples of Christ.